Welcome to our first October Shamanic Mentorship Session of 2018. Thank you so much, Aaron, for hosting. I really appreciate it. And people are still joining, so you'll hop on. And Aaron, just make sure everybody's muted as they're hopping on. I see that there's a couple people that need to be muted, so welcome. I want to welcome all our new folks. There's some people I don't know if I said hello to you yet. I try to remember to say hi to everybody as you're joining, but I don't always get a chance to do that. But Linda joined recently. I don't know if I got a chance to say hi to you. Jennifer joined recently. Oh, my thing's moving around here, but Jennifer Miller joined recently. These are also, we've got some folks who are joining the Arkansas Training Immersion that starts next weekend, which is very exciting. So they're hopping into the mentorship because that's a prerequisite now for training with me in person, which I think is really great, because you really get that added support. So I'm excited that you all are here. Becky Hoover has joined us. Misty from Atlanta. Andy Brammer, I said hello to you earlier. Jill Southard, I don't know if I said hello to you yet or not. I don't know if she's on the call tonight. But I'm trying my best to remember who joins and say hi when we have an upcoming session. And thank you all for joining the Facebook group, because it's really great to connect with you there. We only have one person who's not in the Facebook group because she is that rarest of all beings that has no social media. So, and her name's Jamie, and hopefully at some point she'll be able to hop on a session and we can say hi to her. But she will email me from time to time and let me know how she liked the sessions, and I'll start forwarding some of that info to you all just so you feel a sense of connection with her. But welcome to all our new folks. We've had some people step out. I just don't make announcements about that. So the group's really staying at a pretty consistent number, which is great. And also know that you're welcome to invite friends anytime. They don't have to have any experience. They'll get experience here. What I really seek as people who are committed, really want to connect with community and be a student and dive in together and have some fun. So thank you for being here. I mentioned some things, I think at the last session or the session before, which someone brought to my attention and said, hey, are you going to talk about this at the next session? So let me talk about those things now. I had briefly mentioned the solstice, December 21st. And I like to set New Year's intentions, so to speak, make my list of things I choose to manifest for the coming year. I like to do that at the solstice. It's also when I like to rebuild my mesa. I have a pretty large mesa. I'm guessing probably bigger than most of you because it's what I do. You might have large mesas too, but I have a pretty big one in a room that's specifically the healing room, and we do smaller ceremonies in there. Generally around the solstice is when I will remove everything, clean up all the tools, clean up the wall and the floor and everything, just clean it all, because it sits there for a year being used and worked with, and I dust it and try to keep it up, but anything that you let sit in one area of a room for a year, you know, it's like if you never moved your couch and cleaned behind it. If you never do that, no judgment from me. I'm just saying, once a year, you might want to pull that couch out, you know, fresh energy. But I do that with my mesa at least once a year. And the solstice is when I really like to do that. It's also a really good time for me personally, because it's right before Christmas and I tend to have time off. It's hard for me to take it down and be ready for clients the next day, because it's a pretty big job for me to remove everything from my mesa. One of the things that happens though when I do that is that any tools that are no longer resonant for me and that maybe I don't work with them very much anymore, it might be time for them to come off the mesa, and it might be time for new tools to be on the mesa, and I will, my altar, call it my mesa, and I'll rework my mesa, meaning something that was on the left side might now need to be on the right side. And there's a reason for it doing that. I don't generally move things that much, to be honest. They have, the way I was trained, the indigenous practices that I learned from, there's reasons for having things on the mesa at certain places. However, something that represents water, I used to have a certain shell on there, and then it was time to shift to a different shell, things like that. Sometimes it's really simple. Sometimes I completely rework it. And generally what I do is rework it based on what the medicines are that I'm focusing on at that time. So last year, I actually reworked my MESA earlier this summer. It just worked out that way. But for about a year and a half, my MESA was very much Puma medicine. Jaguar, 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 Jaguar. It was like straight up and down the middle Jaguar. And then Hummingbird started to come in more and Condor came in more and different things were happening. So now my MESA still has the Jaguar medicine and the Hummingbird medicine. For those of you who've been in my healing room, you've seen a lot of that. Snake medicine. When I first started doing a MESA, snake medicine was my focus. But now my the central thing on my MESA is Condor right now, because that's where I'm focused. So it doesn't mean I'm not working with the other energies. It's just where it happens to be focused right now. So if you are able to come to a ceremony that happens to be in my healing room, or if you come by for a cacao ceremony and you want to see my MESA, let me know and you can see what I'm talking about. Maybe I could take a picture and send it to you all as well. That might be a good way to show you, especially for those of you who don't live locally and aren't able to see it. I don't like to post my MESA publicly. I don't mind doing it in our group though. It's a sacred space. It's an internal sacred space manifested externally. So I don't publicize that a whole lot. I used to share pictures more in the past, and lately I haven't really felt called to do that. So one of the things I was talking about before, which was not my MESA, it was the solstice and leading up to the solstice and manifesting. And I really wanted to do something together as a group to prepare for the solstice and prepare for that time of writing down what you'd like to manifest. My experience over the last 4 or 5 years is that every time I write down my manifestations and things that I choose to invoke for the coming year, 95% of them happen either that year, or 100% they will happen over the next year or two. And it's really amazed me how that's been working in my life the last 5 or 6 years. And it doesn't have to be stuff. It can also be that you want to manifest more joy, more movement, more mindfulness, you know, as well as other things. I had put on my, it was a couple years ago. I was working with Paula, who's in the group here, who just went off. She just turned off her video. Hopefully not, because I mentioned her name, but I was working with her and didn't know that she has a publishing company. And I wrote on my manifestation, one of the things on my manifestation list is I wanted a publisher for my next book. And Paula is Earth Songs Publishing is my publisher. Who knew? I had no idea how that would manifest, but it ended up manifesting. And I didn't even realize that she published and had a publishing company. So a lot of the things that you might seek are closer than you realize, which is really neat. Another thing I did was I posted on Facebook, I'm ready for a publisher. And then I found out Paula had a publishing company. So it's just, it's amazing to me how once we're in alignment, the things can truly manifest. So what I want to focus on for the next 80 days, because that happens to work out that today, between today and December 1st, is exactly 80 days. That's fun. Anything that you do for about 3 months becomes a practice. It becomes a habit that's a good practice. You can also do something for 90 days that isn't a good practice and just becomes a habit. But what I'd like to do between now and the solstice is a gratitude journal. It's such a simple thing. And I really wanted to come up with something simple that we could all do together. You do not have to get anything fancy. This literally came in the mail today because I ordered one for my mom. It's got a really pretty butterflies and stuff. Can you see that? The reason I did that is because I tend to be very, I tend to just like buy a regular old notebook and just go for it. I'm all about logistical. I need a notebook. Let's do this. And I don't tend to get the fun things with the butterflies and, you know, and the little butterfly closure. I just don't tend to work that way. So I'm making an effort to have my gratitude journal, reflect self-care and taking the time to get a pretty journal instead of just grabbing a Trapper Keeper or whatever from Ingles, which is what I usually do, you're totally welcome to do that. That's totally fine. What I'd like to do though is every morning or afternoon or evening, and some of you are probably already doing this, so just keep it up if you are. Well, when I was talking to Spirit about what's something we can all do together that's simple enough to do, that's not adding so much to your life that you feel like you can't do it, that we could do as a group. And I realized that a lot of people focus on manifesting. And if we want to manifest, we got to be in a place of gratitude. So you can start writing in your gratitude journal things that haven't manifested yet and go ahead and say thank you for them. Because I used to write thank you for a publisher for my books long before I had a publisher for the books. I used to write thank you for a lot of things. Thank you for my new car before I had a new car. So you can totally write down the things you're grateful for that have already manifested in the 3D, and you can also write down things that you are manifesting because you're bringing yourself into alignment with that. The universe feels your vibration more than it hears your words. You know, you can say all the things you want to say, but if you don't believe yourself and you're not feeling it and you're unconsciously sabotaging yourself while you say it, or you're kind of going, you know, then it's a lot harder to manifest that way. So we'll call this our 80-day hashtag gratitude journal, 80 days, whatever you want to call it. We'll hashtag it somehow to be like the cool kids. But that feels really good to do as a group. Don't beat yourself up if you don't do it every day. If you're already doing it, then just keep doing it because you'll support the rest of us in doing it. If you have little tips that help you do it because you've been doing it for a while, feel free to share those in the Facebook group. It does not have to be pages and pages and pages, but even if you just write down 10 things, I have a house to sleep in. I am warm in my cozy bed. I have food to eat. Those are, I mean, I was doing this the other day, realizing that I have the resources to feed birds and squirrels and wild turkeys and animals that can totally take care of themselves. But I have the freedom and the financial resources to buy bird seed and go out every day and connect with these animals and feed them. And I wasn't really thinking about it until this past week when I realized, wow, not everybody can do that. Not everybody could even afford to do that or has a space where they can do that. And just realizing that this simple act that I do every day, which is actually part of a personal meditation for me, I take the hummingbird feeders out for the birds, but the bees from Old Man Walter, who lives behind me, he has bee boxes. So now that the flowers are going away for the fall and winter, the bees are starting to drink the water from the hummingbird feeders. So when I take it out there, the honeybees are buzzing around in the spot where I hang it, waiting for me. And it's really neat to just hang it there and just stand there as all these bees are buzzing around me and just be part of that medicine. It's really become more than just feeding animals. And so I was realizing how grateful I am for just such little simple things. So I want to put that on your radar. Let's focus on gratitude and gratitude of what, for what you've already manifested, gratitude for what has not yet third dimensionally set itself in front of you and will. And then you'll be in such a high vibration of gratitude that when you write down those solstice manifestations, it'll be just an overflow of all that you already have, all the abundance that's already in your world. So that's the first place I wanted to start, because somebody had asked me how we would be preparing for the solstice. And I feel that that's a really great way to prepare. I used to focus a lot on lists of manifestation and then wondered why I couldn't create them and manifest them. And then I realized it's because I'm so focused on what I want and not focused also on what I have. So that's going to bring a really nice balance. The other thing I want to talk about is elementals. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago and somebody asked me to follow up. So you all know what the elements are, fire, water, ether, air, earth. There might be more, but those are the ones that we mostly connect with. Elements, you can work with the elements, of fire and water and air and ether and earth. We work with those elements a lot. We did the session where we worked with the energy of hurricane, which was wind and water, and then coming onto the earth. So we're working with that a lot. I just don't necessarily call it out that way. So start paying attention to when we're working with different elements. I almost said elephants. When we're working with different elements, Pachamama, that's Mother Earth. Actually, when I was in Peru, I'll tell y'all, I may have told you this already. When I was in Peru, this young woman who is indigenous and speaks Spanish and Quechua and English told me that Pachamama is actually the whole universe. And I had heard that before. It's the whole universe. Mama Pacha is Mother Earth. So, you know, it is what it is. But we generally say Pachamama for the earth. And so when I call in Pachamama, Mama Cocha, the ocean, I'm calling in the water, the earth medicine, the water medicine. I call in Wiracocha or Wira, which is the wind. And Wiracocha is like great spirit. Inti Taita is father, son. And that brings in the fire. I think fire is actually in Quechua is Nana, something like that. You can also say Fuego in Spanish, or you can just say fire in English. And Quichi is the ether. Quichi also means rainbow. That's in Quechua. So when you've heard me call those elements in, I'm invoking literally the five elements. Elementals are the spirits that protect and are within the elements themselves. So there will be elementals within the element of water, elementals within the element of earth, elementals within the element of wind. And I wanted to be able to talk with a little bit more detail about it with you. So I did a little research. And I'll post some of these articles that I found. I don't agree with everything in these articles, so take it with a grain of salt. There's one article that I really like what they talked about, and they're coming from this paranormal investigator vibe. So they want everything to be scientific. Pshaw, we know that all this stuff is real, so don't even worry about that. And there's some really interesting info in there. And one of the people they talk about, and I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly, but Paracelsus, Paracelsus. He was an alchemist and a doctor and maybe a chemist. And he was all these different things. You can look him up on Wikipedia or Google him. And he talked a lot about elementals and talked about how they connect with the elements. And so that's where a lot of the information in some of these articles has come from. So this has been around for a while. It's just some of it's shifted because of Judeo-Christian ideas. And some of it's been given names from, like Paracelsus was white. So it's shifted, whereas indigenous people wouldn't necessarily call them elementals. However, they're still working with the spirits of the land, which we would call elementals. So in Peru, there are teachers, if they are trained enough and if they are of a certain level within their training, who can invoke the spirits of the Apus being the sacred mountains, Apukuna. And they will, there's this ceremony that they do where you're in, generally in a dark room. Sometimes it's in a cave, but generally they keep it dark, and they will bring in the mountain spirits, which will fly in like giant condors, and you don't see anything, but you'll feel the wind blowing through when there's no way it could have blown. Like the room will be completely airtight, and this wind will blow through, and that's how you know the spirits are there. And then the spirits will answer questions and things like that, and then they'll leave. And it's a very third dimensional physical experience. There's not a whole lot of them that do that. So the ones who do it tend to be what you might call top level teachers. It's a pretty amazing ceremony. So the elementals of the earth, as most people know it, because there's a lot more going on than this, and I'm going to tell you about some of the ones I've connected in with in a moment. But the elementals that most people connect with the earth would be gnomes, fairies, and a lot of you already know about those kind of energies, maybe trolls, but any of these energies that are earth energies. So when you go out into the woods and you feel really held and supported and you feel these energies supporting the land, they're generally thought of as gnomes or fairies or things like that. There's also ancestors out there. There's a whole lot more going on, but these are the ones that you'll find online. The water elementals are called Undines or Undines. And I tried to figure out how to say it, and everybody says it differently, Undines. But it's U-N-D-I-N-E-S, Undines. And they're these supposedly these mermaid-like beings that are these spirits of water. You got the air energies, the elementals are called sylphs. You've probably heard of them, S-Y-L-P-H-S. They're considered very, they have these thin ethereal bodies, but they can shapeshift, and they have power over the air, the clouds, snow, gases, the wind, and they love mountaintops. So when you're out in nature and you're feeling certain energies and you're really feeling connected, these are some of the spirits that you're connecting with. I found it really interesting that fire, I didn't know what the elemental of fire was, and that's part of the reason I wanted to do a little research. And they, every single one said salamander is the elemental of fire, which I find so interesting because salamanders are usually found where it's wet. So I just find that interesting. And they can show up as little balls of light, fireballs, tongues of fire. So salamander is your fire elemental. There's also these energies called devas, which to me are very similar to, Anne's shaking her head. She knows all about the devas. And some of you might already know about all this stuff. So, but they're the spiritual forces or beings behind nature as well. When I meet the devas, they feel more goddessy and feminine. That doesn't mean they all are. That just means that's what I've connected with. And it's interesting. We call them devas, but in Jewish tradition, they would be called Shadim. In Egyptian tradition, they are Afris. In African tradition, they're called Yawahus. And in Persian traditions, they're called Devs, D-E-V-S. So I thought that was really neat that all these different traditions have the same idea, but different names for it. One of the things I want to tell you that I find really interesting.
I can't translate into Egyptian.
Sorry. My phone just told me it couldn't translate Egyptian because I accidentally hit the button while I said Egyptian. Thanks, Siri. She can't do Egyptian for me. So the Greeks called these otherworldly unseen beings, called them daemon. Okay, D-A-E-M-O-N-S or D-A-I-M-O-N-S, daemon. So they're guardians and helpful spirits. If you've ever seen that movie or read the books, The Golden Compass, they have a daemon, which is like their spirit animal. A lot of you have cats walking through right now or dogs walking through, or maybe you're connected with horses. When you have these animals that are your companion, that's your daemon, okay? Now, what's interesting is when the Judeo-Christian ideas came around, guess what they changed that name to of these helpful spirits that are unseen? Demon. Yeah, they changed it to demon. So you would stop trusting it and you would stop connecting with it. And it was bad. So your daemon is, especially when you have helper spirits who've manifested as cats and dogs, that's your daemon. But your daemon can really be anything. And I would imagine you have more than one, just because that's how I work. We have lots of guides and helper spirits, but generally it's thought of that you have a daemon, kind of like in psychology, it's thought of your daemon is more like your masculine aspect and the feminine aspect. I'm forgetting the name. So somebody who's a psychologist can remind me. So I think it's really fascinating that a lot of these energies were just part of the landscape, no pun intended, part of society, part of the village, part of the tribe. Our ancestors were talking about these fairy spirits and gnome spirits and spirits of the land. And then it got shifted to from daemon to demon. And it completely shifted the attitude around it, and people stopped connecting with those spirits and stopped connecting with the spirits of the land. It's said that they aren't really interested in cities where the vibration is considered lower because there's less trees and there's less nature to keep the vibration high. So that might be why you don't feel them as much in cities. You'll definitely feel them when you go out into the woods. I like to hike. I like to be out in the woods. I like to get from point A to point B sometimes. And I spent about a year and a half walking these two trails I would walk over and over and over. And I would just go to this place off. I would go to different places, but there were two or three places that were like my spots. And I would go and I would just be in the woods. Sometimes I would fall asleep in the sunshine. Sometimes I would just sit there and meditate. Sometimes I would journal. And just being and sitting there, I was really able to connect in with the energies. There's lots of ancestors in the woods, different kinds of ancestors depending on what part of the country you're in. One time I woke up, I'd fallen asleep in the middle of the woods, and this squirrel was chattering at me, wanting me to go away. And one time I was sitting in that same spot, and this black bear just went running by because it was going somewhere. I'm like, oh, hey. That's the same area where I saw a huge, I think it was a coyote wolf mix. And the thing is, it's because I just sat there quietly. And one time I went off the trail, but you could have totally seen me if you paid attention. And I was up the hill a little bit from the trail, and right directly across from me, about 10 feet above me and about 40 feet across, was a black bear, this juvenile black bear, sitting in the tops of the trees eating berries while I was eating a picnic lunch across the little gully there, just watching this bear. And these two people walked on the trail underneath both of us, missed both of us, didn't see either of us, and just kept walking. You really want to pay attention. And when you slow down, you can really connect in. I love to hike barefooted. It's not always doable if it's really rocky or if it's super cold, but hiking barefooted, if you're able to do it, if you feel comfortable with that, is a great way to slow yourself down and connect in with the energies there. I have trees all over this area and the parkway here that are my family. I have a father tree, a grandfather tree, a grandmother tree, Mr. Maple. These are all the energies that I go say goodbye to when I'm leaving town. And when I was moving away, I spent more time saying goodbye to these elementals out in the woods than I did to the humans that I know, to be honest. So there's lots of ways to connect in the stones. There's one huge boulder that I used to go sit with every day. And he said, you can call me Uncle Rock, which I thought was pretty funny. These are just ways that I've connected in. Elementals are way more than fairies and all this stuff that you can find online. And if you go out and sit in the woods and make yourself available and are willing to connect with energies that might freak you out a little bit, then you can connect with things beyond fairies and trolls and gnomes and the things that we're kind of used to that we've heard of. So I'll give you some examples. There are definitely giants that exist in the unseen realms, and they are definitely protectors of mountains and of certain areas. And I mean giants, like can step over mountains and keep walking. They're huge. They don't often let themselves be seen. I've only ever been able to connect with one, and he did not have any interest in communicating with me. He knew that I saw him, and he gave me a look, and he kept walking, and I was just glad that he didn't want to smush me, because he might, I don't know, you know. He didn't seem very friendly, but he was working. He was busy. He had a whole area that I was tapping in with him psychically and being shown that he has a whole area that he patrols and keeps safe and keeps watch over. And that's what elementals do, is to keep watch over these natural places and these elements that we have around us. One time I was sitting by a river and I was meditating. I really like to meditate by water because I start floating. The water just, and that can be fun to do from time to time. And I had been meditating there for a while, and there was nobody there but me. And suddenly I realized something was above me. And I looked up, and the only way I can describe these elementals is to say, if you took a granddaddy long legs and you made it about 200 feet tall, like really long legs like that, like 100, 200 feet long legs, and then this big round body head at the top. I mean, it was really, it's the only thing I compare them to is big granddaddy long legs, except super huge. And there were three of them, and they were, unexpected. So it caught me off guard. I didn't realize that they were there when I first started meditating, but as I was connecting in with the elements and becoming one with the energies around me, suddenly the veils opened and I was able to connect in with these elementals who don't generally let themselves be seen, like fairies and other energies will let themselves be seen. They also did not speak, but they let me know that they were angry because some things were happening in that area that were, you know, tearing up the mountains and thoughtless, you know, tearing down trees to build houses and different things that were happening in this area that it was their job to protect. And they were letting me know that they were not happy about that. And one of them with that big, huge face, it was probably the size of a house, the body, came down and got right in front of my face just to check me out because they were surprised that I could see them. It was very trippy. I wasn't afraid, but I was a little nervous because that's a little unnerving to come on upon something like that. So those are just a couple examples of energies that I've connected with when I'm out in the elements. And I really, generally it's when I'm being quiet with the land. I've often connected with ancestors, indigenous Native American ancestors. There's lots of places you can connect in with them. And I find them easier to connect in with than these almost alien energies that are the other elementals that a lot of people don't know about. So if that's something that interests you, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what they are, just give you a very brief overview and let you know some of the energies I've connected with. There's other energies I've connected with, but I don't want to spend all night talking about that. So the more time you can spend with nature, you're going to be able to connect in with them. You'll also be supporting them when you bring a vibration of gratitude and honoring the earth. I really like to take gifts when I go hiking and when I go out into nature, whether it's to water or wherever I'm going. I'll take gifts of flowers, you know, the heads of flowers, tobacco. My friend likes to take milk and honey, and she puts a little honey in milk and takes that. And that's very sweet too, but I'm vegan, so I don't do that. And really anything can be a gift as long as it's not going to pollute. So, you know, you can take sage and or herbs. I've taken lavender, anything that you grow from your garden, or maybe you have some fresh basil that you've grown. It's not about, it doesn't have to be tobacco or some expected gift. It's about what's personal and special to you. And it's a way of being in sacred reciprocity, Aini. A-Y-N-I. And so giving a gift to say thank you and to honor the land, even just stopping and hugging trees and talking to trees and talking to the energies there. On one of these trails where Uncle Rock and Mr. Maple live, there's these little beings that are, I guess, would be kind of gnome-like beings, even though they don't have pointy hats and stuff. And there's a whole family there. And the dad wouldn't come out, the father, the male, wouldn't come out and speak to me, but the mom would come out and speak to me. And her kids, these little gnome children, would follow me down the trail until I reached a certain point, and then they would stop because that was the end of their area. They don't go beyond that. And then when I would come back through, they would hike with me, you know, literally like little gnome children running around with me as I'm going down the trail. Now, other human beings who would walk by me had no idea that those were there. Having said that, I've also come upon energies in the woods that didn't feel very friendly and were not very nice and really didn't want me to bother them. And sometimes I would just, you know, hey, and keep walking because I try to win them over with kindness, but sometimes they just don't want to connect with you. I mean, you don't always want somebody stopping by your house. So, and there was this energy under this boulder that I could tell was there. And he was like, go away, go away. He was very grumpy. So I would just leave him gifts and keep going. And it got to the point where he would kind of come out and eyeball me. But these are all energies that are in what are considered the unseen realms. And it's a practice. You got to practice. You got to go connect in and take the time. Okay. If you want to amplify your personal ideas and your connection with the planet, this is one way to do it. This is a powerful way to do it that I haven't really talked about before. And it's way more than you think it is. Even if you've already connected with fairies and ancestors and certain things out there, there's a whole lot more that you do not realize is there. You may not realize is going on. So with some of these energies, you really have to make an effort before they'll allow you to see them. And as I said, they all have different personalities. It's not everybody's Perky McPerkerson. You know, just because you're showing up all excited does not mean they're excited to see you. And that's totally their prerogative. You know, that's their space and they have work to do. And that's the place that they're protecting. And honestly, they're not thrilled with what humans are doing, you know. So you'll have different experiences depending on who you connect with. So I wanted to answer that question about elementals since that had come up and mention tonight, if possible, start your gratitude journal. Okay. Very excited about that. You can do more than a gratitude journal if you want. That's what I'll be doing, and I'd love for us to do that as a group because, as you know, when we do something as a group, it amplifies it. For those of you who are here for the 30-day soul retrieval, I still do a daily soul retrieval because we did that together, and I think it's really neat. So if that's something you want to keep doing, you can go back and find that. I think it's somewhere in the Facebook group, or maybe Aaron or somebody can help me find it, and we can repost it. So does anybody have any questions before we move into a little bit of journeying work? If you do, you can type it up. It's okay if you don't. I just wanted to check in, see if anybody had a quick question about any of that. Great. Okay. As I said, I will post those articles that I found, take them with a grain of salt, and start talking to your familiars and recognize that they're your daemon. Some of you already do. I was also talking to someone the other day, explaining to them that we have more than one soulmate. I don't know where this idea of a soulmate came from. We have lots of soulmates. Your kids can be your soulmates. Soulmates does not mean that it's romantic. Your animals can be soulmates. Or I shouldn't say your animals, the animals that are in your care can be your soulmates. You do not own them. I feel like there's certain trees that are my soulmates. Mr. Maple, I'm in love with Mr. Maple. Technically, Mr. Maple is a tulip poplar, but I didn't know that because I met him in the winter and I couldn't see his leaves. And then when his leaves came out, I went, oh, you're a tulip poplar. And he said, that's okay. You can call me Mr. Maple. So I call him Mr. Maple still to this day, even though he's a tulip poplar. And he's like my papa. I mean, he's family. And sometimes I'll just go and sit with him. And sometimes when I moved to Colorado a few years ago, I hugged him and cried that I was leaving him. He is definitely a familiar for me. So familiars are not always animals. So I sense that you can have soulmate energy with these spirits in the unseen realms as well. That's something you could check in and tell me what you find out. But we can go into soulmates, twin flames, and beloveds on another session. That's a whole other thing. I got all sorts of theories about that too. Over the years of working with people who are looking for twin flames, don't find your twin flame unless you want to clear a heck of a lot of karma. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, that'll be an interesting one to talk about too, because people are interested in that. So Aaron, how are you feeling about opening up a shamanic journey? I'd really love if you'd be open to bringing in some beautiful hawk medicine. And does that feel good? Yeah. Sure. Yep. Okay. So everybody, if you just want to, you can lie down, or if you're not going to fall asleep, or you can sit where you are, and I'll let Aaron open up the space and get the journey started. And Aaron, you can go for as long as you'd like. And if at some point you want me to take over, I will follow your lead. We're letting Aaron as an apprentice get some practice. At some point, Sandra's going to get some practice too. So get ready, Sandra. I won't do it to you tonight, but it's coming. Okay, so I'll mute myself, Aaron, and let you take over. And if you all want to connect with, your daemon, with elementals and the realms, the things we talked about tonight, please feel free. Thanks, Aaron.
Lighting up and activating this temple grid space. Activating the pillars of this temple grid space with Archangel Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Raphael, Sandalphon above, Metatron below. Activating the temple grid heart space with Archangel Azrael. As we are in medicine world and only pure love and pure medicine is welcome into this space. Go ahead, if your eyes are not already closed, go ahead and close your eyes. And find your portal door. And if this is your first time journeying with us, just find a door. Something that works for you is your portal door. And step into this portal door. And stepping into a forest. Let this be some place, those of you that have been journeying for a while, you know what that place is, and those of you that are just joining us, just make sure that it's a place that is not necessarily familiar. And just take a look around and notice if there are any guides there. Notice the plants that are surrounding you, the trees. Noticing if there are any animal spirits that are joining you. Maybe another animal spirit that you haven't been working with that is now joining you, that would like to work with you and assist you in this journey that we're taking to solstice. Call in your familiars and any elementals that you feel called to work with at this time. Your daemon. Your daemon medicine. Really trusting whatever comes to you in this moment. And really allow, as we all journey together, allow these elementals and your familiars and these daemons to guide you. Allow them to guide you in bringing clarity to what it is that you would like to manifest. Calling on their support and their guidance. Medicina, Medicina. Medicina, Medicina. Elemental Medicina. Elemental Medicina. Daemon, Daemon Medicina. Daemon, Daemon Medicina. Daemon, Daemon Medicina. Gratitude Medicina. Gratitude Medicina. Spirit, Spirit's Medicina. Mama Pacha Medicina. Inti Taita Medicina. Mama Kocha Medicina. Yera Kocha Medicina. Quichi Quichi Medicina. Apu Apu Medicina. Gratitude Medicina. Solstice, Solstice Medicina. Intention Medicina. Elementals Medicina. Fairy, Fairy Medicina. Mermaid, Mermaid Medicina. Sky Spirit Medicina. Ether, Ether Medicina.
Rainbow, rainbow heart, Breathe into your belly. Wherever you are on your journey, you can take a moment to come to a place of completion for now. Giving thanks to all the beautiful energies that have worked with you this evening. When you're ready, you and your guides can step back through your portal door. You're welcome to bring your guides with you to surround you in the space where your body is physically present in this moment. Before you close that portal door behind you, once that portal door is closed, whenever you're ready, remembering to breathe into your belly, opening your eyes. Be sure to drink some water. The main thing I want to leave you with tonight is the reminder that the fear came later, the fear of unseen realms and the fear of connection with the earth and the domination of the earth, so that we lost connection with these energies. That's not our original shaman experience. So I would encourage each of you to work with any anxiety or fear that comes up when you connect with certain energies, when you're connecting with yourself, because it's totally normal that it's there and it's not our natural state. Our natural state, it really is miracles and deep connection. So fear is natural, and we want to find a balance with that. Your daemon is very magical. The unseen realm is very magical and not always, you know, perky, like I said, very magical. But we've been taught to fear. So when you don't trust yourself, that's a learned experience. When you were tiny, before you were taught to not trust yourself, you trusted yourself. You knew. You were totally tapped in. So that's what we're remembering. And thank you all for being here. Really appreciate you showing up tonight. Again, welcoming all the new folks and sending lots of love to everybody who will see this for the first time as a recording. And thank you again, Aaron, for leading the first part of that journey and being open to doing that. Thank you for hosting. And something's trying to come in my window right now, so let's go see what that's about. Humpway humpway is a way of calling forth the energies, just so you know what I'm saying. Humpway humpway elementals, I'm calling them forth. And I definitely call something forth. It's hanging out at the window here and just got my attention. So I'm going to go hang out with whatever I've called into this space and send you all into your evening with a lot of love or wherever you are when you see this. And thank you so much for being here. And Aaron, if you would like to unmute everybody, you can. And we'll get the recording out in the next couple days if you missed anything or want to watch it again. And have a beautiful evening.